This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
All right, and here we go. Let's give a big thanks to the folks listening on 101 in the Crozet and the Valley, and to Dixon Disposal. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. More, 978-2111. Online, it's DixonDisposal.com. All right, now that we've thanked everybody, let's actually get into the program. Our guest today, and who are you, sir?
Oh, my name's Hawes Spencer. I'm the editor of The Hook newspaper.
Hello, Hawes Spencer. By the way, let's give a big shout-out thanks to The Hook, who also supports The Wake-Up Call every Sunday. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's so exciting to be in my home ground.
Did you actually? I thought The Hook's home ground was all throughout Central Virginia.
That's right. But this is a special home ground, given our close connection to your show.
Thank you very much. And we are going to be talking about Biscuit Run, which is a new state park that we'll be getting here in the Charlottesville area. And, yeah, and there have been at least two cover stories in The Hook in the last, 4 or 5 months, and a few other smaller interior articles as well, talking about the park, where it came from, how much it costs, et cetera. And it's not always quite so simple as we just made it sound, is it?
Well, no, it's not. The more we learn, the more controversial it gets.
Well, it seems like, how controversial is it to get a park? Somebody bought a big piece of property, decided that they couldn't use it for what they were going to use it for, donated it to the state.
Oh, that's so generous. Well, just like Paul McIntyre when he donated McIntyre Park to the citizens of Charlottesville decades ago, right? Wrong.
No, it's not the same thing.
This one came with a big price tag to the taxpayers.
Oh, now, the Hook actually had a large article back in October. It had a nice, juicy biscuit on the front of the cover, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And before I could finish the article, I had to go get something to eat, and then I came back and read the article while munching. But really, you wanted to talk about the controversy first. What is the controversy?
Well, the controversy is that when the governor announced this thing to the citizens about a year ago, he really didn't tell the whole story. Now, this was outgoing Governor Tim Kaine, and he expressed a great debt of gratitude for the donors, or the alleged donors, for giving this park to the citizens. And he talked about how it was just going to cost $10 million, $9.8 million. And the sad thing was, is Governor Kaine really didn't tell the whole story, because to make the deal work, all kinds of amazing things happened at the state level, and probably the most dramatic was that there are these secret tax credits given to the wealthy alleged donors of the parkland, and at this point, the tax credits have cost the taxpayers another $11 million that the governor never even mentioned, and there was an effort by these wealthy donors, allegedly, to put forward a possibly bogus appraisal on the property that would have put tens of millions more into their pockets. And the whole thing has caused so much controversy that even the Attorney General's office has revealed that an investigation is underway.
The Hook and the Charlottesville area friend, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli.
Yes.
Who gets involved in many things. So is it so surprising that he's actually checking into this?
Well, it is a little surprising, because his boss, or the chief executive of the state, incoming Republican Governor Bob McDonnell, initially expressed enthusiasm for the deal. But as the controversy began erupting, his support for the deal seems to have tempered a bit. One of the complications is that the lead investor in the Biscuit Run development, which is a failed development, no matter how you slice it, it was going to be over 3,000 houses and on property that was bought at the top of the real estate bubble, and just the carrying cost was hundreds of thousands of dollars every month. And sure enough, the loan on the property was delinquent at the time the deal, or shortly before the deal was made. Well, so the complication I was getting ready to get into is that Bob McDonald is the recipient of over $63,000 in campaign contributions from Hunter Craig, the lead investor on the Biscuit Run deal and a recent appointee to UVA's Board of Visitors. Are you following all this?
Well, I am following all this, but
Rick,
I had
a little confused.
I am confused.
Your temples.
Because Tim Kaine was a Democrat as governor, and it sounds like what you're saying, and I'm going to need to get a little background play into this in a moment. By the way, this is the Hooks editor and publisher, Hawes Spencer, as we talk about Biscuit Run and how a planned real estate development has become a planned state park and who has benefited and who has not. Write down the phone number for the program, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We'll be taking calls shortly for those of you who need as much explanation as I will. So what I've heard, Hawes, is that the governor, who is a Democrat, Tim Kaine, assisted the group in some way, and the Republican governor has also assisted the group in some way.
Well, the incoming Republican governor, I don't know that he's necessarily assisted the group, although he certainly has.
Well, he's received assistance from them.
He has received assistance.
So there's some. They're all sort of friends.
There could be. Yeah, there's a lot of very friendly things going on, and you know, that's one of the things that creates cynicism in politics is when there are all kinds of donations that don't necessarily appear to be motivated by altruism. In this case, what looks like a return favor appointing this big donor to the UVA Board of Visitors. I guess that's actually pretty standard fare. I mean, we've had, if you look at the appointees to the UVA Board of Visitors over the years, it's almost rare to find one who hasn't made a lot of political donations to top state officials. But I don't know if that's what Mr. Jefferson had in mind when he set up the university back in the early 1800s.
We are talking about the Biscuit Run issue. Not everyone who can hear the program today, whether you're Rusty had someone calling from Australia. We have folks in Richmond, in Amherst County, in Lexington, and so forth. I don't know how well distributed the Hook is throughout the Central Virginia area. So tell me a little bit about Biscuit Run as a planned real estate development. For those who don't know, it is on the southern end of Albemarle County near Interstate 64.
Yeah, if you go out I-64 by I-64 on 5th Street, for instance, I guess that turns into Old Lynchburg Road, and there it is. It's a huge tract. I mean, it's 1,200 acres, give or take, and it's sort of near Dudley Mountain. A lot of people used to know that for years, David Breeden, the late David Breeden, would have potluck suppers at his house where people could discuss soapstone and stone carving, and he was an interesting local character.
He actually, that if I remember correctly, that piece of property had a large soapstone carving right at its entrance.
It might have.
I think it had. My vision is it had sort of like a large wheel out at the front of it.
Okay. Well, yeah, David Breeden, his soapstones are all over town. You can see one in front of Republic Plaza on West Main. There used to be one on High Street at the juvenile courts. It's now been kind of moved into the back, called Family. And there's one at, is it Kale Elementary, I think, Anyway, David Breeden was a prolific soapstone artist. That was his preferred medium. And but his father had bought the property back in the early 70s, always with the intention of developing it. But at the height of the real estate bubble in 2005, I think it was, the investors for Biscuit Run decided, hey, let's buy this thing, and they paid the whopping sum of like $46 million. I mean, that is by far the biggest real estate purchase in Albemarle County history, and it's one that caused even seasoned real estate watchers to just drop their jaws in shock. But at the time, people were paying, you know, $300,000 for downtown bungalows, and the real estate market was just exploding all over. And 2 years later, the Biscuit Run investors felt like they had a plan. They had hammered out a deal with the Albemarle supervisors. It took till 1 a.m. in late 2007, and the lead investor, Hunter Craig, said that this would be the gold standard of the neighborhood model for Albemarle County. 3,100 homes clustered with open spaces, and interestingly enough, 400 acres of the property was already dedicated to parkland. So that fact diminishes somewhat the excitement over this new state park, since the county was going to be basically getting a free park. And not only that, what was interesting to the Albemarle County supervisors, who were always trying to maximize the benefit to the taxpayer, is that there were 18 million in cash proffers made on the Biscuit Run property.
A proffer.
In exchange, what that means is, in exchange for being allowed to rezone rural land into a housing development, they make certain donations to the public: land for a school, land for a fire station, parkland. There was going to be cash, $18 million worth, handed over to enable the construction of various pieces of infrastructure, including a long-desired southern connector road in that area.
One of the interesting things that I've learned from the articles in The Hook, Haas Spencer here today, editor and publisher from The Hook, talking about Biscuit Run and how a real estate development is becoming a state park, were some of the investors themselves. You've mentioned Hunter Craig, and it's sort of like some of the other names. And my understanding is we don't know all of the investors themselves, or do we? But there was a light local celebrity list involved.
Yeah, that was actually one of the more interesting things. The only investor names that have been confirmed are Hunter Craig and Corin Capshaw. There was for a while, there was talk that Boyd Tinsley was one of the investors. And interestingly enough, Boyd Tinsley himself seemed to foster these rumors by showing up at the press conference announcing the donation, where he said that any loss we've taken pales in comparison to the contribution we've made to the community. But I guess he got caught up in the excitement, because one of his close associates called me a few weeks ago and said, yeah, despite what Boyd Tinsley said at that press conference, he's actually not a Biscuit Run investor. So that was kind of a humorous little aside. But the thing that makes people's blood boil about the Biscuit Run deal is this. When the thing tanked, when the real estate development was clearly not going anywhere, not a single house was built, the real estate market was in the tank, they found somebody who claimed that the property was no longer worth $46,000. This is a million. Sorry. So yeah, right. $46 million. Whoops. And you might think, oh, was it worth $20 million? $15 million, $10 million, I mean, undeveloped land in the midst of this housing crisis has plummeted in value all over America, and including wonderful Albemarle County. But no, they found an appraiser up in Orange County who magically came up with a number of $88 million. And what she said was, not only did the Biscuit Run property not diminish in value, it basically doubled in value. And I'm afraid that that stretches pretty much everybody's credulity. And it's been that figure that she put on an appraisal. I mean, appraisers are certified and licensed by the state of Virginia. I mean, if that appraiser is wrong and painfully wrong, she could lose her license at a minimum. And, you know, I don't know whether you can go after somebody for fraud, but it, again, I want to be careful with my language here. It, again, strains credulity that undeveloped land, a huge tract of it, in the middle of a housing crisis, would nearly double in value.
Well, one of the things, and this is like a multi-tiered question, and we're going to have to take a little break in the middle of it, but there are several points to this. Why is it,
Why does it matter what the appraisal was?
No, I understand that.
Go ahead. Well, why it matters is the appraisal is the launch point for these amazing tax credits that can be used almost like cash. And so if you can find a certified licensed appraiser who says that your land was worth so much and you parted with it for so little, then you've effectively made a donation. But that unleashes all this cash on these already wealthy investors, and that's why people's blood boils, because the appraisal smells really foul. And if that appraisal would have been allowed to stand, the cost to the taxpayer would have been far greater than what it's already been, and even what it's already been has raised eyebrows. So you can see that so much power is invested in appraisal, and if an appraiser can come up with a figure that doesn't seem to match the reality of the marketplace, then you're really dealing with what's not right against the taxpayers.
Well, we're going to take this first break a little early, but I need to learn more about what the tax credit is and how it works. And there's also, by reading the articles, there are at least three, if not four, different and widely varying different appraisal numbers.
Yeah, well,
there's one from like 12. I think the lowest one is 12, and then it goes up to 82. So I want to get into that a little bit too, but let me do this homework first. It is 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs in the upper 40s. Lower 50s in Lynchburg and Richmond. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows 30 to 35, even chillier in the valley and Lynchburg. Partly cloudy tomorrow, 20% chance of afternoon rain, highs in the mid-50s. Right now it's fair in the valley, fair in Lynchburg, and 39, 43 in Richmond, 42 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from The Backyard, the university's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard invites you to enjoy outdoor patio seating in their heated tent, provided by Commonwealth Event Company. The Backyard has a seasonal menu and seasonal brews on tap and is available for private events. For more info, it's 434-202-8215, and you can find The Backyard on Facebook. We also want to thank listeners like R.K. Ramazani, Ann Evans, and Brenda Clement Jones for contributing to WNRN's fund drive this past fall. It's because of people like them that you have the Wake Up Call on Sundays. It's also because of our program underwriters, like the ones you're hearing from this hour, The Hook, as well as Price Hyundai Isuzu and State Farm. So stay tuned and tell a friend about the Wake Up Call every Sunday and the other programming you enjoy here on the station. And be sure to support us in the upcoming fund drive in March. You can see how you can help at WNRN.org. All right, Haas Spencer here from The Hook as we talk about Biscuit Run, retail estate, real estate development versus state park. Let me go back. There are multiple different appraisals for this tract of land.
Right.
It was purchased, if I have my numbers right, it was purchased in 2005 at $46 million and change. It was, VDOT came in, and I'd like to know why Virginia Department of Transportation is coming in for a park.
Why don't I step in on that?
At $12 million?
Yeah. See, now, this is one of the interesting aspects of the deal. The outgoing Governor Kane so badly wanted this deal to happen that he told VDOT, we think, that they needed to put some money into this. And VDOT is used to spending money for things like highways and trains and median strips and stoplights. And they were being asked to put up money for a park. And so they said, well, okay, we've got this federal program called the Enhancement Fund. And this is a program that was created years and years ago. It was really initially created for transportation enhancements, especially things that were intermodal, like connections between, say, bikes and trains, or buses and cars, commuters hooking up into commuter trains and things. And it was really, when the program was envisioned, these federal transportation enhancement funds were all about really modernizing our transportation system, getting away from the old idea that it's highways, 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 and trying to get people into alternative forms of transportation, especially fostering connections between different forms of transportation. But in this deal, they convinced the VDOT folks that it would be okay to use these enhancement funds to buy parkland. Clearly, VDOT was not completely comfortable with doing this, and so VDOT commissioned an appraisal to find out what they were buying. And so VDOT hired an appraiser, and the appraiser came back and said, yep, the 1,200 acres is now worth $12 million.
And this was done, you say, is now worth, because this appraisal was done during the real estate bust.
Correct. This was done sometime during 2009.
And this is also a, I guess state-appointed isn't the proper word, but state-approved appraiser. Is that the proper word?
Yeah, the first.
I mean, same regulations
licensing
as the one in Orange, who found it to be such a different
right,
rate.
Right. And the VDOT said $12 million. But then, lo and behold, the Biscuit Run investors showed up with this appraisal from Patricia O'Grady Filer. That's the appraiser in Orange, that said it's worth $88 million. What a shocker. That $88 million, see, let's backtrack for a second. If the appraisal were just $12 million, and that appraisal assumes that the land is worth less due to the housing debacle, the housing market flop all over America, and if that were allowed to stand, these people not only would lose all their investment, but they wouldn't even be able to pay back their banks. See, the loan on this property was over $30 million. And so it was such a big loan that the bank that initiated it couldn't even handle it in its portfolio and kind of farmed it out to various other banks, because you don't want to hold such a gigantic loan in your banking portfolio. Can you imagine if a loan like that went bust, that could bring the whole bank down?
Once we put the M at the end of the numbers, I can't imagine it anymore.
Yeah, so, well, the bank that initiated it was First Community Bank Shares, which is located in, it's somewhere down in Southwest Virginia or West Virginia, somewhere near that border. In any event, even their portion of the loan, which was somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million, I think, was delinquent. And that was bad enough that they had to issue a warning to their shareholders. They're like, got to let you know this land in Charlottesville is delinquent. We think it's going to be okay. Heavy breathing, sweat on the forehead kind of thing. But, just needed to let you know. Well, they we're told that they got additional collateral. And that's another one of the interesting mysteries of this thing. What was the additional collateral? Was it the tax credits? Was it the fact that Biscuit Run lead investor Hunter Craig pledged all of his stock in Virginia National Bank to personally guarantee the repayment of the loan, but actually all of his stock wouldn't come close to repaying the loan? So you had a mammoth debacle on your hands from the perspective of the banks if Biscuit Run were to go belly up. And you've got a governor who wants to create lots of extra parkland during his term. So you can see all these interests are kind of converging on doing the Biscuit Run deal. And that's why when Tim Kaine had that party at Monticello a year ago, it was really like a victory party, you know, because they were announcing parkland saved. But what they omitted, again, was the true cost to the Virginia taxpayer.
We are talking about Biscuit Run. Real estate becomes parkland. Dial us up if you have a question, because I have a sheet full of questions. That's S-H-E-E-T, full of questions. 979-0919. I may not get to yours, so jump in and toss yours out there now. 979-0919. Toll-free number for those of you, because the state of Virginia is all involved in this. We'll get into tax credits next. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's toll-free. Talking about Biscuit Run with Hawes Spencer, editor and publisher of The Hook. As we're talking about the different numbers in terms of appraisal, VDOTs is $12 million. The woman from Orange County goes up to $80-plus million. The actual amount paid was $46 million. The loan was $35 million. There's all these numbers out there that all somehow fall under the umbrella of a tax credit and how it helps or how it doesn't help enough.
Okay, so yeah, I'm happy to tell you how that works. So, again, if you can find an appraisal that is high enough, you can get these tax credits. And the way the tax credit works is it's basically 40% of your donation. So if you if somebody says the property's worth $88 million and you've sold it for just $9.8 million, then you've effectively made a donation in the upper 70s, right? 70 plus million. So then you just multiply that times 40%, and that's the amount of the tax credits that can be spread among the millionaire shareholders.
28 for those of you who don't have your solar calculator nearby.
There you go. And actually, Rick, there's another way that the millionaire donors make their money. If it's really construed as a charitable donation, well, then it's a deduction on your state and federal tax returns. And so you can say, you know, just like when you and I go and drop off a bag of clothes at the Salvation Army or donate our car to one of those not cash for clunkers, but
Habitat for Humanity folks, yeah, who are always looking for valuable items.
Yeah, and they always say you can deduct the value of the car that you donate to us. And as long as you assign a legitimate, you know, like blue book value to your car, that seems like a donation, right?
It does to me in my checkbook.
Okay, but this is just that on a much bigger level. And so you say, well, I just donated $78 million worth of happiness to the Virginia taxpayers, $78 million worth of land. But remember, it's all premised on a potentially bogus appraisal.
Doing my homework for the program today, again, Hawes Spencer from The Hook, as we talk about Biscuit Run. The Hook always has their online, all their articles are online with an area for comments to be put afterward. So a lot of times you can learn just as much from the article, and then you can learn a little extra from the comments until they sort of lose focus anyway. And I copied this, and I didn't paraphrase, but I skipped some of the parts. But this is from one of the comments in the Hook's online area. And this was from someone who claimed to be part of all this situation. Investors are losing a lot of money. There is no windfall coming to us at taxpayer expense. No one got bailed out. Two parties, state and developers, made the best of a bad situation. There was no fraud. It's the same tax break that helps motivate people to donate to the United Way or Red Cross. Would you rather have a park or a half-developed eyesore stuck in default and lawsuits?
Okay, the commenter makes 2 points. I'll take the second one first. Would you rather have a park or a half-developed property? Okay, that reasonable people can argue about that. The state's action clearly created a park where a half-developed development might have occurred, or some other outcome. We don't really know, because the state intervened. But as for the first part that said nobody got bailed out, I'm sorry, but that's completely false. Because, in fact, the banks, at a minimum, got bailed out. In the free market, if banks make a bad bet on a loan, they're supposed to lose it all if it tanks like this. And the bank may end up losing some. We don't really know until the state makes its final determination on what the tax credits allowed will be. And the bank also hasn't revealed the intricacies of what other collateral might have been pledged to secure these loans, and whether they're completely secured, partially secured, or generally unsecured. But no, that the first part I can tell you is just not true. A bailout did occur. Now we can argue, was the bailout good? Was it helpful for the taxpayers? Well, it certainly came at a cost. And maybe we will eventually conclude that the cost was worth it, that the park is so good, and that it justifies the cost. But I keep going back to the fact that Tim Kaine at the press conference really didn't come clean on the true cost of this thing, and the investors have been allowed to operate in an arena of near total secrecy. I mean, one of the amazing things to me is, if I sell a house or buy a house in Fifeville for $60,000, $70,000, $110,000, that's public record. Everybody in the world can go check my property record and see how much my real estate transaction was. They can see what I paid. They can see what I sold it for. They can really follow that, and they can have that information. But one of the amazing things about this conservation tax credit program is that it operates in complete secrecy. In fact, it didn't always operate this way. It was originally envisioned by Bath County-based state senator Cree Deeds almost a decade ago as a way to preserve open space. And initially, all the records were available to the general public, and people could see how much tax credits were being issued if they made the right request to the right authorities. But a couple of years ago, a member of the Virginia legislature, a guy named Linwood Lewis, got a bill passed that completely shrouded the thing in secrecy. And what's amazing in Virginia is not only do we have what's arguably the most generous tax credit program of this type, but it's also among the most secretive.
11:34 on the Wake Up Call. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for letting us be here with Hoss Spencer today. With more cold weather on the way, now is the time to pick up a jacket to keep you warm on the slopes or here in town. Blue Ridge stocks high-performance winter outerwear and active base layers from Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports stores are in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, Chesterfield Town Center, and Lexington Commons in Richmond. Online, it's brms.com. Hawes, you've had, correct me, but 2 cover stories on this topic and a handful of other smaller stories inside other issues of the hook. But we don't know that it's really a scam yet, because there has not been, I believe you quoted, there was a January 8th article that says that there is no appraised value for tax credit purchase yet. So how do we know that the taxpayers are being screwed?
All we know is that the taxpayers are being shut out of the conversation. They're being deprived of the opportunity to weigh in. They've been through some leaks. We've got our own little version of WikiLeaks here. In fact, I don't know who the leaker is. I don't need to know. But some person around Christmas time mailed a whole bunch of secret documents that were part of this deal to the Hook office. And if we hadn't received those, we wouldn't know for sure that the that Patricia O'Grady Filer had made her amazing $88 million appraisal. We wouldn't know that the state tax department somehow decided that the land was worth $39 million and went ahead and issued $11.7 million in tax credits. We wouldn't know all these things. We wouldn't know that the Patricia O'Grady Filer's appraisal attracted some concern early on, where another appraiser had to step in and get her to redo some of her calculations. But again, all this is being conducted outside of the arena of the taxpayer, which is the person who's paying for it. And so it's only due to the largesse of whoever this leaker is, and it's only due to the news organizations such as our own that have written stories revealing some of these aspects that we know even this much.
How do you seems to be a ridiculously simple question, but how do you donate something that you haven't paid for yet? If the investors still have 30 some million dollar loan, how do they donate it for so much less than they owe?
Well, I think that's another really good question. It appears that they convinced the bank to sign off on the deal. Now, I can't tell you whether the bank was convinced that Patricia O'Grady Filer's magical appraisal would stand, or whether they just felt like there was a gun to their head with the governor supporting the deal, or whether they figured that they might lose more if they said no. I mean, remember, this is a huge, empty housing development with very little hope in a down housing market of building but a fraction of the houses for which it's going to have to construct expensive infrastructure and make these expensive donations to the citizens of Albemarle County in the form of the $18 million in proffers, cash proffers, plus another $20-plus million in land and other in-kind proffers.
The appraiser from Orange County decided that the property was worth $88 million.
Yeah.
But isn't the land actually worth something close to that if you have 3,100 tracts of land that could be sold at $40,000 a piece? I mean, because they're not like suburban little neighborhood pieces of property that you're going to build the homes on. They're actually reasonable size places to put your house. I mean, they're almost McMansion sort
yeah.
of things.
If I were Patricia O'Grady Filer and I were being accused of coming up with a very questionable appraisal, I would make that same argument. I would say, well, these properties will eventually sell, but what we're forgetting in all this is the carrying cost of that development. I mean,
and by carrying cost, that's just the amount that you owe day to day based on the interest of the loan and other things that go along with.
Oh yeah, because see, the developers would have to build roads. Like, why would, like, Rick, would you buy a property in there for top dollar to build a house if there were no road, if you had to like drive an ATV over hill and dale and like cross streams to get to your house? I don't think you would. And so the developers were facing a situation where Yeah, they might sell a lot here and a lot there, but could they really fulfill all their obligations to build those roads and create that dedicated parkland and pay the $18 million in cash? What if only five houses sold? I don't think that would cover all of the investment that they were required to make. And remember, when you were talking about a $34.3 million loan, the interest alone is $4,700 per day. Now, that's assuming a 5% rate, and we're just talking interest only. We're not talking about paying back the principal. That's $4,700 per day, $143,000 every month, and $1.7 million every year. That is a relentless drain on even the wealthiest person's coffers, particularly for a property producing virtually zero income.
Spencer here on the Wake Up Call today, 1141.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week on The Hook, with the big group buying businesses offering major discounts, local owners and consumers are taking note. What does it mean for the local economy? And while American auto manufacturers fight stricter fuel efficiency standards, Americans are buying more cars and driving more every year. One author has the answer to a greener life. Tax the gas, to read the essay. And should a judge be allowed to rule a case that includes his wife's law firm? The Hook, sharing their own group buying power. DailyDealZville.com. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for letting us be here today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. And Drew Thompson should be here at noon for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative music, Adam Ant, Devo, and XTC, brought to you in part by Orzo and the Visualite. Requests are always welcome on Les Temps Purdue. And don't forget, if you have a question or a comment, dial us up, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Hawes Spencer from The Hook. One of the things that we focused on for this part of the program has been the money. But there were also some questions and concerns about why put a state park there, because that's right on the edge of the growth area for Albemarle County, and there were some other opportunities there. So it seems as though The Hook, or at least Hawes Spencer for the first 43 minutes of Wake Up Call, has been talking about whether or not this is a financial scheme. But is there any part to it about the choice and location of the sale rather than just the way it's been handled?
A deal that caught the Albemarle supervisors completely by surprise. They had spent decades shaping what's called the growth area, the area in Albemarle County that surrounds the city of Charlottesville, so that area would be the one where they would provide the services in the form of roads, water, sewer, and fire rescue services, that type of thing. And so they were completely surprised to have such a ginormous tract in the middle of their growth area suddenly become a park, because there were other opportunities for parkland. Albemarle Supervisor Dennis Rooker, for instance, pointed out that a tract that was recently offered by Meade West Vaco, a former logging site of nearly 5,000 acres near Ashland Highland, sold around the time of the Biscuit Run deal for $23.75 million. So on a per acre basis, you're looking at a fraction of the cost of Biscuit Run, you know, much more land for basically the same price as what the Virginia taxpayer has already paid for Biscuit Run.
Sorry, I missed that phone call. Dial us back, caller, 979-0919.
And then there's another property. How about, you know, Panorama Farms up near the Earliesville area? That was an 800-acre park, which has already sort of been kind of a private park, even though it's still in private hands. The Murray family has been nurturing that place, letting people like UVA Athletics come up for running races. There have been open times for bicycles. And that property, I would argue that might have been even more scenic land, being up in Earliesville with that beautiful backdrop of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and also its proximity to the Rivanna Reservoir. So there certainly were other options for parkland in this area. The Biscuit Run deal seems to have been born out of the need to rescue the speculators as much as any need to provide parkland for Albemarle citizens. And others have made the point that we're already in an area fairly rich with parkland because we border the amazing Shenandoah National Park to our west. And so even though that's not a state park per se, we have scads of parks in this area. There's Shenando Lake in the valley, and not to mention all of our own Albemarle County parks like Chris Green Lake and Walnut Creek and McIntyre Park in
the
city.
So what can, if anything, Albemarle County Board of Supervisors do? They've had this large piece of property taken out of the tax possibilities. They have apparently were offered little, if any, part in the decision-making. Can the Board of Supervisors go in and make any changes or make any complaints or et cetera?
It doesn't look like they can do much. You know, aside from Dennis Rooker's comments, I don't know whether or not there's a consensus on the Board of Supervisors to express their displeasure with the deal. You know, it's kind of hard to argue against a park coming to your backyard, especially a state park.
Unless you're not making enough money as a county, and you need that for tax purposes.
You know, that's another hot issue. Although, I will say that one's complicated because you get into that whole question: Do developments pay for themselves? Even with the proffers, people can argue on various sides of that issue, because when you build those houses, you do create a strain on roads, fire, rescue, but most importantly for the taxpayers locally, the school system. So it's a live issue whether residential developments pay for themselves. I think you can argue that commercial developments typically do pay for themselves because they pay property taxes, but they also reap sales taxes, which goes into local coffers. But, you know, these are things that smarter people than I would have to debate.
979-0919. We had a couple calls that I shamingly missed.
Why are you missing all these calls?
Because,
right?
I'm intrigued by what you're saying, and I'm so focused.
You can
and
interrupt me, you know.
Scratching my temples as to what the hell does that actually mean. We are talking with Hawes Spencer, who's the editor and publisher of The Hook.
Why don't you make the little phone call sign, you know, where you put your fingers up to your mouth and your ear?
I've only been doing this for a couple weeks, and I'm I get so lost so easily. Multitasking, not in my coffers. One of the phrases that I found early on was that this was an under-the-wire purchase. I think that was in the October issue. Is this something that sort of had to happen all of a sudden, or the law was going to change, or is that just because it was all done quickly for the bank loans?
I don't know. I know the bank loan was in trouble. I know that the under the wire might have applied to the fact that the governor was about to change. So I don't. There's some nuances in tax law that might have necessitated going in one year or another, but I'm not aware of any that were so dramatically large that they had to hit by December 21, although the deal, I believe, did close just a day or two before New Year's Eve. The deed of sale was filed December 30th. That's one day before New Year's Eve. So,
and also, I guess I need to take a moment and make sure while Hoss Spencer's with us that Courtney Stewart from The Hook wrote one or two of these articles as well. So multiple people involved in multiple good journalistic articles, letting the taxpayers know about what's going on. Back to the tax credit thing, because that seems to be the major issue about how this whole thing worked. The wide-ranging dollar value given by the appraisers from VDOT to the woman whose three-word name I can't remember from Orange County.
Patricia O'Grady Filer.
But tax credits can be traded.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like food stamps where, you can go sell them down for cigarettes at the corner. In the same way, the multimillionaires can trade their tax credits. And so, the system was designed to serve as credits against your own taxes, but there are these brokers who will trade them for you. You lose up to 20% of your tax credit while selling them. But suppose you only earned, $2 million last year, and you've got, $2 million in tax credits. Well, your tax bill wouldn't have been that high, so you need to go find a broker, and he or she will sell them for you. But just like selling your food stamps on the street corner, you're going to lose a little. You're selling $50 worth of food stamps. You might only get $30 cash for your personal needs. You follow me on that one?
I did, actually. That one I caught because I take my food stamps out on the corner fairly frequently. But it's all about whether or not these investors made any money or certainly lost a lot less money than they, I guess, can I use the word should have?
Well, yeah, it depends. Do you believe that taxpayers should bail out speculators? If you do.
But I'm getting a park. From the feedback on the street, the online articles, do you have any idea of what the percentage of general folks believe is better? Getting a park or something that we can't actually prove yet?
I guess that's a tricky question because if you asked me whether I want a park, I would say, well, if it's free, yes, I want a park. If it costs me $10 a year in taxes, I still want a park. If it costs me $20 a year in taxes, yep, I still want a park. But if all of a sudden it's costing me hundreds of dollars per year in taxes or some figure that I'm not even privy to, well, then I might either say no or I might say, Rick, I think I need more information here because at some point we all have our little breaking point where an additional park is just not that worth that much to us in the bundle of taxes we pay each year.
We've mentioned several times during the hour about how the current land preservation tax credit concept keeps things private. Has this, through your work, brought about any comments from other legislators about reducing the privacy, changing the way it's set up?
Well, I've had a reporter named Lisa Province call the legislator who got the thing secretized by a law passed a couple of years ago. So Lisa is calling Linwood Lewis, who I don't know if it matters, but he is a college classmate of Hunter Craig's. That could just be a coincidence. But in any event, she's trying to find out, why was he so eager to make this program secret? Why was he eager to hide what the taxpayers pay? And so when Lynn Lewis responds to Lisa Province, then maybe we'll get an answer to that.
All right, we got, finally, I remembered to see the phone. Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Fire up with your question.
Well, I guess I just had a comment based on what the gentleman said, I guess, a couple minutes ago, pertaining to taxes and for parks and money allocated for that. I think that in the end, it may be a burden on the taxpayer, but we should do, I think Charlottesville and or Albemarle County should do a better job at providing access to the tax park. Could you say, let's have a park in Biscuit Run, and I believe that's down off of Old Lynchburg Road, and that's not exactly, you can't just walk Biscuit Run or safely by any means. So I think having parks closer to that would be helpful, but in the general whole, having more parks in the county, that's a good thing because in the end, land's the only thing that's going to go up in value in the coming years. So to have secure land and have it set up to where it will stay in the control of the people, I believe that's a good thing. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, man. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just a minute or two left with our guest today, Haas Spencer, editor and publisher of The Hook. Haas, that's one of the things that has gotten, I guess, good comments, positive comments, is that even though it's right on the growth ring, is that as Charlottesville and Albemarle continue to grow and grow, I guess, around it and past it, that we'll have a very large sort of inter-city park?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, is Albemarle supposed to grow around it? Not anytime soon, given that the growth area was chosen by the County of Albemarle to hold the growth for the foreseeable future. And they certainly have put out a lot of incentives for keeping the rural land rural. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with the idea that Albemarle will grow around the park. They really have made a concerted effort, this Board of Supervisors and their predecessors, to concentrate development in the urban area. They feel like sprawl is bad for the county, and so they have created incentives for developing in the so-called urban ring.
Just a minute left. Is there any new information? The last article I read on The Hook about Biscuit Run was, I believe, nearly a month ago. It was January 6th, January 8th.
No, but like I was alluding to earlier, this reporter, Lisa Province, is trying to find out why the secrecy developed. And she'll be following up with whatever she learns. And she'll also be following up with the Attorney General to see if he's ready to reveal the results of whatever investigation is, was, or shall be taking place.
Do you think there are any opportunities for secrecy packages to come your way?
We're always open for secrecy packages to come our way. We love a good secrecy package. Sometimes when the state government creates such secrecy, that's the only way for the taxpayer, the general public, to find out what's going on.
Well, Spencer, thank you very much for coming in today.
Rick, you're beautiful as ever.
My hair grays, but I've stopped coloring it. Drew Thompson up next. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.